Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
There's a drive hammer to right field deep, down the line, way back, and it is gone. Home run, JBJ, and the Red Sox lead it 7-6. Jackie lining a bullet, fair by maybe 15 feet. His second home run of the series, his 14th of the season.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Indians.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss, it's over. Andrew Cashner saves it for the Red Sox, who win it on Jackie Bradley's 10th inning homer after blowing a 6-1 lead. Nipped the Cleveland Indians 7-6 in 10 innings.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Mark James on WEEI.
Well, well, well. It is late after another four-hour marathon game. The Red Sox pull it out behind Jackie Bradley Jr., the guy who was the 2018 ALCS MVP against the Astros. His home run, Red Sox win 7-6. My name is Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James, good to be with you. We'll be here for approximately an hour and 20 minutes until 1. So feel free to join the show at 617-779-7937. This, though, you know, you can look at glass half full, glass half empty. I always prefer to look at the latter. And the one thing that I will take away from this game is Rafael Devers, number one, first player in Major League Baseball history to have six hits, including four doubles in a single game. Not six hits in a game, but six hits with four of those being doubles. So congrats to Rafi Devers, who is having an MVP-like season. The Red Sox bullpen, blowpen as I call them, decides to do it again for not the first, not the second, third, fourth, but 23rd time this year, blowing a save, which they did again tonight. Chris Sale actually pitched pretty good over six innings, only three earned runs, earned being the key factor. There was an error in the game, but the Red Sox pull it out. But it's almost to the same extent of they're just prolonging the inevitable, which is this team missing the playoffs for the first time since 2015. Because there's no way this team is going to make the playoffs. There's something amiss with this season, and it all stemmed back to spring training when you see how Alex Cora and Dana Lavangi handled the starting rotation. Obviously, the bullpen has been just absolutely disastrous, which is what they were all of last season until they turned it on for 3 weeks in October. But it's the starting rotation that has been the epitome of inconsistency. Chris Sale tonight, decent start. Probably left him out there a little bit too long. But just overall, what you expect, you know, going into the season when you invested, I believe the number is something to the extent of over nearly a half of $1 billion combined when you consider the $210 million that was given to David Price, the $145 million that was given to Chris Sale, and the $68 million that was given to Nathan Eovaldi, which comes to a grand total of $423 million. They have not got it done this season. Rick Porcello has certainly not got it done this season. And Erod, who's probably been their most consistent starting pitcher, hasn't exactly, you know, has been challenging having a low ERA this year. But it is what it is. I have to say this season to me, and you look at last Thursday night when the Red Sox were in a game against the Tampa Bay Rays last Thursday night, from a rating standpoint, they got blown out by the Patriots on television. The Patriots, I believe, that night did a 12.1. The Red Sox did a 4.6. So, and we're talking about a Patriots preseason game, which meant absolutely nothing, which Tom Brady, Julian Edelman did not play. And, of course, you know, Rob Gronkowski is retired, at least semi-retired for now. He was not, obviously, on the team in the game. And they got blown out. So as this season continues to unfold, the Red Sox right now, they had a chance, especially after winning seven in a row. They had taken three out of four from the Yankees in that series here at Fenway Park. And then after that, losing seven in a row combined to the Yankees, the Rays, and the Yankees again. It has just been a disastrous season. I don't get too hung up on one game. I look at the totality of the season. And the one thing that you can sort of look at this team that is eerily reminiscent of the team from 2 years ago in 2017, the adjective that has come up is unlikable. Now, the Red Sox, really going into this week, were on pace to win 83 games. I don't know even now if they're going to get to the 83 win mark, but let's just for hypothetical purposes say that they're going to win 83 games this year. That's a 25 win differential from their 108 victories last season. That is an accomplishment. And in a really bad way.
That was very special.
25 less wins from a year ago with primarily the same team without Craig Kimbrell and Joe Kelly. So are you telling me that Craig Kimbrell and Joe Kelly were worth 25 wins? Because I don't think so. I mean, this team is unlikable. And I've called them the Celtics of summer, called them the Green Sox, whatever you will. This Red Sox team is almost a mirror image of the Celtics team we saw this past season with Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and a team that everybody thought was destined to have a date with Golden State in the NBA Finals and instead got pretty much beat down in the second round by the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the Celts of summer. That's what they are. Oh, man. I missed my calling as a singer on American Idol. Simon Cowell would have torn me a new one. They are. They are the Green Sox. They are. And this has been a wasted season. And I've said this before, and Dan Shaughnessy echoed these sentiments in the Globe last week. He doesn't believe that Dave Dombrowski will be back next year. I've also said that the Red Sox should seriously look into trading Mookie Betts. I wanted to do it before the deadline. It didn't happen. But according to reports out there, the Red Sox will be listening for offers. The question is, who's going to be making the deal? Because I don't think Dave Dombrowski will be back. I don't think so for next season. And it's amazing because he just led the Red Sox to a world title a year ago. And somehow, some way, I don't see him back in the fold as the president of baseball operations next year. I think that John Henry has grown tiresome of Dave Dombrowski. Could be mostly professional, could be something personal, but you can tell when everybody here was disappointed the Red Sox didn't make a move before the deadline, I couldn't blame John Henry. John Henry gave this team 241 million reasons to be successful this year. And they are on the outside looking in of the American League wild card to a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, who has four times less the payroll of the Red Sox, like in the neighborhood of $63 million. Four times less. And they right now are on the inside track of getting the second wild card spot in the American League. And it's sad and it's pathetic. So your thoughts on not only tonight's game, feel free to chime in on that, and the night that Rafael Devers had. You want to chime in on Chris Sale? I'm looking at the totality of the season. And it is a season lost. And you better do something on Sunday, September 8th, when the Red Sox have a nationally televised primetime game against the Yankees. Because there's a team up the road, down 95 South in Foxborough, that is going to be kicking off about an hour and 20 minutes after the Red Sox are scheduled to play the Yankees. Now, I know it's beyond their control. It's an ESPN thing. If you're the Red Sox, you probably want to get that game moved up to about 1 o'clock that day. Because there will be zero. If you're losing, if you're getting outrated to Jarrett Stidham, Brandon Bassett, Maurice Harris, and Dontrell Inman, I'd like to think what it's going to happen when Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft are hoisting the sixth Vince Lombardi trophy and banner up at Gillette Stadium on Sunday night, September 8th, against Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, yeah, this season, it has gone from bad to worse. And I don't care about tonight's game. I'm looking at, like I said, the big picture of the 2019 Red Sox. Feel free to chime in on tonight's game or chime in specifically on how did a team go from arguably the greatest team in franchise history, 108 wins in the regular season, capped off by 11 wins in the postseason and the fourth World Series title in less than 15 years, to now a team that looks like they're going to miss the playoffs for the first time in 4 years, in a team that is, dare I say, much like the team that everybody hated 2 years ago who got bounced in the ALDS to the Astros, unlikable. Because when I look at this Red Sox team as a whole, they come across as unlikable. Not Rafael Devers, not Xander Bogaerts, not even Chris Sale, but they are just unlikable. And if I have to look at the guy who's playing the role of Kyrie Irving for this year's Red Sox, look no further than David Price. And he's the one, when this team was coming off winning seven in a row and had taken three out of four versus the Yankees at Fenway Park, David Price allowed his mental fragility and insecurity to put him in a position where this team ultimately, you can pretty much stick a fork in them. Even Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe wrote about it.
Where's everybody at?
617-779-7937. Do you ever think a game the first weekend in September versus the Yankees would mean nothing and nobody would care? Because that's what is about to happen. Mark James here with you, taking all of your phone calls coming up next.
Is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
What do you think, Chris, tonight?
I mean, he was good. The last inning, the walk, started with a walk, I think it was. The command was okay. Then he made pitches, and then Francisco gets, I think it was a changeup down to his own. He gets a hit, but, you know, at that point, it was Chris against Francisco or Taylor against Francisco, and the way Sale been throwing the ball and is our guy, I went with him. It didn't happen, but that was the reason behind it.
1-7-7-7-9-7-9-3-7. That was Alex Cora on why he left Chris Sale in a little too long. Sale actually had a quality start tonight. Three of the five runs that he gave up were earned, so 6 2/3 for him. three earned runs and doesn't get the win or anything like that. But nonetheless, Brandon Workman gets the win, even though he blew his fifth save of the year, and the Red Sox had blown their 23rd save on the season. All right, to the phones, as I promise. Your thoughts on the game tonight, the totality of the season, what has gone wrong from a team who won 108 games last year in the regular season to a team that is on the precipice of missing the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. David, thanks for your patience, is up in Florida. What part of Florida, David?
Did you just say up in Florida? Last time I checked, I had to be down in Florida.
I said down in Florida. What part of Florida are you in?
I'm in West Palm Beach.
Oh!
You ever been there?
Many a time. I went to the U, so I very familiar with Palm Beach County, the Breakers, the whole...
The Breakers.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that whole area down there. Yes.
Yeah, you're a graduate of Coral Gables, huh?
Yes, yes.
All right, well, you know, first of all, I got a yellow phlegm ball. Phlegm ball, I mean, you're great, and I think you got a great future ahead of you, but Sale was not spectacular tonight.
No, I didn't say he was spectacular. Like he was all right.
No. Flemball, good old Will Fleming, before he signed off and turned over to you, on the end of the post game, Flemball said that Sale was spectacular tonight.
Flemball. I usually do the nicknames, and it was a quality start. He wasn't great. I mean, he did strike out 12 though.
Yeah, but he only went six and two thirds.
Yeah, well, hey, these days, David, the way that pitchers pitch in modern day Major League Baseball, that's almost like a complete game.
That's a sad. That's another story for another day. That's
right. Yeah, this is true.
Too.
Right.
I mean, incidentally, was there any 20 game winners last year? I mean, did anybody win 20 games last year or the past? I mean, it's ridiculous. Cy Young winners are now only winning 16, 17.
I know. It is bad. I know.
Disgraceful. But, you know, like you were saying a few minutes ago about Tampa, you know, that is just so emblematic of just the fact that Tampa is a more intelligent team,
yep,
a more well-rounded team, and they have baseball players, not home run hitters.
Well, and you know what, David? They have a kid who is their vice president of player personnel who's 35, 36 years old, named Chaim Bloom. He was the runner-up to get the Mets general manager job. I thought the Mets aired. They wanted to go with the flashy Jerry Maguire, so they hired Brody Van Wagenen, who was Jacob DeGrom's agent and agent for Tim Tebow and some other players. Now, the Mets, they've come back and they've had a good season, but Chaim Bloom has been with the Rays now for over 15 years. He could be the next Theo Epstein, and I'll tell you right now, if and when the Red Sox, or if they make a move on Dave Dombrowski, they should just back up the Brinks truck and put a blank check in front of his face to become the next general manager of the Boston Red Sox.
They won't do it because, you know, they want a team. They want they've always prioritized offense over just fundamentals, you know, and look at Devers. I mean, again, yeah, he had six hits tonight. Wonderful. How many times did he get picked off the base again? I mean, Bogart and I mean,
it's, Devers,
you know,
Devers.
Devers, Devers, yeah. Dumbass Devers, and Bogart, the freaking frock. I mean,
Dude, they've been the two best players on the team this year, David. All right. I mean, if you can't get the guy had six hits tonight, you got to get the pronunciation of his name right. I can't allow that. Hey, listen, there's a lot of at fault, and you can blame the Red Sox season on a lot of people. I mean, there's enough blame to go around for years on this team. But you can't hold Devers and Bogarts as the reasons why this team has been an unmitigated disaster and a failure. And Chris Sale had a quality start tonight. He was pretty good. He wasn't great. It was good. He did what he had to do. Alex Cora left him in there a little bit too long, but he was only responsible for 3 earned runs, 6 2/3. I'll take that. I mean, he was getting shelled earlier in the year. Jessica in Worcester is up next in the 508. Hello, Jessica.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. considering what a sad season this is for the Red Sox. Just like you said earlier, very hard to watch, very painful to watch. Bogart's endeavors have just been leading this team all season.
They've been the bright in a dark, dismal season. They've been the shiny stars on this team that if those are the two guys that you have issues with on the failures of this team, then you're not, you know, they're, I'm going to point the finger at everybody on this team before I point the finger at Rafael Devers or Xander Bogaerts, because those guys have been all-stars. Rafael Devers has got to be an MVP candidate. I mean, for the season, I mean, six hits tonight. I mean, four doubles. The guy is just mashing. He looks like a young Manny Ramirez, you know?
Yes, and it's just, that's some excitement that Red Sox fans get to look forward to, which is great. I mean, he's homegrown. He just looks like he's having fun every time he's on the field. Bogart, same with him. It's players like Mookie Betts who don't even look that enthusiastic.
No, it's a great point, Jessica.
He has 100-plus RBIs.
Yeah.
On the season, whenever he crosses home plate, there's no smile on his face. I mean, just this whole team looks like the lack of enthusiasm is just atrocious. And I'm not sure what's going on behind closed doors. And even Cora, he's just so arrogant. And in his post-game interviews, especially when they lose, I just don't think that the attitude is there with the team as a whole. There must be something going on. Back in that club.
You know, when it all started too, Jessica, in that first series of the year in Seattle, and after like the second loss of the year, the second game, he was dropping last year. And it was, mm-hmm. it was just so, you know, it, like he just, and you were mentioned before about Mookie Betts. Yeah. Mookie seems so apathetic. He just seems like so lackadaisical, like he doesn't even care and nonchalant about just, you know, guy was an MVP last year. He seems disinterested, inattentive. It just seems like a guy that is just sort of going through the motions for the most part. Now, granted, he can still go through the motions and be better than 90% of the players in Major League Baseball, but you're the reigning MVP. You're the one who's going for a $350 to $400 million contract in a couple years. You know, it's just, there's something amiss with this season, Jessica. It started in spring training. They did not work out the starting pitching. And I'll tell you this right now, in terms of people who need to go and somebody who, it won't be Cora because he's in his second season. He won the World Series. But Dana Lavangi, I'm sorry. You got to go, bro. You got to go. Because if you were going to pinpoint the reason for this year's failures, I'm starting with the starting pitching staff. And who's the pitching coach? Dana Lavangi. Gotta go. You're mm-hmm. out. You are gone.
So, yeah, he's all done. I mean, he has to be all done.
Yeah, you gotta go. I mean, the Mets brought in an 82-year-old guy. An 82-year-old man. Because things were going so bad, they fired their pitching coach. They brought an 82-year-old man, and the entire team season turned around. Yeah, whatever Dana Lavangi is teaching these guys, it's not working. You see, you know, and the thing about the Red Sox is, like, they didn't use the Bill Belichick philosophy. Last year doesn't mean crap. It doesn't mean anything. Sports are an anthology, not a continuum. Every season is different. And this team, as they just sort of had this sense of entitlement going into this year. Oh, last year. Who cares? Who cares? At least the Houston Astros, a year after they won it, made it back to the ALCS. The Red Sox, right now, they got 40 games left. They're not making the playoffs. It's over. When Pete Abraham is waving the white flag, who's nothing more than an extension of a Red Sox media relations department, that's all you need to know. Even he's waving the flag on this season. It's over.
I think every year's a new year. So.
That's right, Bill. It is a new year. And I start the blame with Dave Dombrowski. he takes the lion's share of the blame. And he, more than likely, I believe that he will no longer be here next year. And is it fair that after leading a team to a World Series 1 year ago that you're fired the year later? No, it's not. But I think John Henry has had enough of Dave Dombrowski. 617-779-7937. I'll take your phone calls on a season lost for the Sox. Nothing but your calls. Quick timeout right now, and we'll get you on the other side. All right, back on Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937. I'll be here with you for the next 47 minutes. Taking your phone calls on the Red Sox. You want to talk about tonight's game fine, or you want to talk about the fact that there's 40 games to go and this team has about as much chance of making the playoffs as I do making Adriana Lima my girlfriend. I probably have a better chance than they do actually making the playoffs. So there's that. So we can get into that. 40 games to go this team right now, and it's not looking good, just to say the least. Get right to the phones without any further ado. Rick in Plymouth. Who deserves most of the blame, Rick, for this season's failure?
25% to Dave Dombrowski and 75% to Alex Cora.
Wow.
I'll tell you why.
Wow.
Hang on. This is mostly on Cora. I'm going to hang Dombrowski out to dry a little bit because he didn't replace Joe Kelly or Craig Kimbrell, and the Red Sox are paying the price for it in the bullpen, okay? And that's on Dombrowski. That's his job to replace those guys. Alex Cora gave them spring training off, okay? They didn't play their starters. This isn't football. This isn't the National Football League. We got to nurse your starters and everything else. This is Major League Baseball. You got to get your swing back. You got to get your speed back, your arms ready, your rotation. He didn't. They took the whole month of March and April off. It was ridiculous.
I agree. Rick, I said, hopefully they took their talents to South Beach or maybe headed over to Disney World in Orlando or went up to Mos Venus in Tampa, because they sure as hell didn't get ready for this season.
Listen, this is what I want Alex Cora to do for me, okay? When he gets back to Boston, I want him to go down to Foxborough, and I want him to go in the Patriots locker room and watch how spring training is really done, okay?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, Bill Belichick isn't going to make these same kind of mistakes. It doesn't happen in Foxborough, okay? They know how to run things. The Red Sox are being babied. Like you said, last season's last season. The Patriots aren't going to say, okay, we're defending champions. Let's take the season off. No. That's not how things work here.
No.
I want Alex Cora to go down there and watch Belichick run a training camp and then take notes. And look, I'll give him a chance to redeem himself next year. But he better step it up, because I'll tell you what, he dropped the ball seriously.
Well, and the thing about Jessica in Worcester, Rick, brought up a good point when she said he's so sometimes condescending in his post-game press conference, like he knows it all. And as soon as this team struggled the beginning of the season in that West Coast road trip in Seattle and Oakland and Arizona, he went to the last year card. Well, nobody was saying last year. It's like,
that's,
dude,
the worst thing he could have said in this town. I'll tell you why. Because no one cares about last year, this year, okay?
Nobody.
Fine. We hung a banner, number four for the Red Sox. He's a second-year manager. What happened to John Farrell the second year after he won the World Series, right?
He missed
same damn thing.
He missed the playoffs. Yeah, he missed the playoffs 2 years in a row in 2014 and 2015.
Last year means nothing. It's all about, what have you done for me lately? And right now, what the Red Sox have done for us lately is embarrassed the city of Boston.
Yes, they have. Rick, excellent phone call. Thank you for staying up with and listening.
I'm on the way to work.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for calling me in on your way to work. Have a safe trip and have a good shift.
You too, sir. Have a good one.
All right, Rick. 617-779-7937. Alex Cora does, I won't say 75% of the blame, but wow, it's at least 40. I put 50% on Dave Dombrowski, 40% on Cora. Well, I don't know. I maybe you break it up. I'll probably go 40 Dombrowski, 30 Cora, and 30 on the players.
Our bullpen has basically been fine.
Yeah, yeah. How about your starting bloatation there? How are they doing? Last time I checked, they were 19th in baseball overall in ERA. 19th for a team that three starters, you've cut Uncle John Henry's checks for a grand total of $423 million on three guys. Sale, Price, and Eovaldi. And they, other than, for the most part, they've all been inconsistent and mostly suck this year. Chris in a car. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Mark. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
No problem, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing very well, very well. The last caller, I get it. You can't compare baseball to football. It's a different animal.
No, but what he's saying is that this is how you – I get it. But what he's saying is that this is how you get ready for the season, that you got to do it the way – hey, Bruce Cassidy's out at Patriots training camp. He's trying to learn something from the GOAT, Belichick.
I get it. But, I mean, the reason for my call was the whole blame pie with Dombrowski and, you know, the other caller brought up the percentage blame pie. I honestly think you blame the players 50% of it.
Fair enough.
You give 25% to Cora. I think you give 25% to Dombrowski. And when you talk about half a billion dollars worth of checks, there's no way those things even happen without John Henry saying, you know, this is what we want to do. And I put it on ownership. I think ownership felt like, hey, we won one. That's great. We got four. And now here we are. You know, we're coming off a little hangover. Things didn't start out so well. As far as preseason, I don't know what that's on. I would assume Cora and Dombrowski sit there and talk about how we're going to handle the pitching staff, especially with Sale, you know. Kind of had a tough mid to end of the season, came back in the playoffs for a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think John Henry pulls a lot of those strings when it comes to what you're thinking the blame pie should be on Dombrowski. So honestly, I think Dombrowski's back. Absolutely.
You do?
I do, absolutely.
Wow.
I think Cora... he's a second-year manager, Mark, okay? I mean, he had lightning in a bottle last year. There were a lot of – when you were watching games last year, you wanted to question him all the time. But magically, it worked out.
It did. It did. No matter what crap they threw up against the wall, Chris, it all worked out. It was
exactly.
Those
games, you're like, holy Moses. And it worked out. It was just like – and now he's just, you know, he's a third-year manager. Now he's on a little bit of tough times. And, you know, I don't blame him. He's not saying the right things all the time. He's not a veteran manager. You know, he is a bench guy.
Yeah.
And now he's thrust it into the spotlight. I mean, it all worked out. You couldn't ask for anything better last year.
It was a magical season. But guess what? That was then. This is now.
But do you honestly think we didn't sign a closer or do anything at the trade deadline because – Dombrowski, that was his decision?
No, but listen. Dombrowski could have gotten one in the offseason, which he decided to neglect.
Again, do you think that's without I don't know.
I think with what John Henry saw, I think he just said, you know, the way the season was going, he probably said, I'm not giving any more money to you for this year's team. I've given you more than any team in baseball, $241 right. million. Dollars. The Tampa Bay Rays right now still have an 8-game lead on the Red Sox in the second wild card right. spot in the American League. They have the lowest payroll in baseball, $62.5 million. It's a joke.
Right.
Joke. So.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you see teams like that sprout up like that from time to time. We'll see what happens over the rest of the season. But I think Dombrowski's here.
I think he's gone, but we'll see what happens. It's going to – I don't think a lot of people would be too sorry, but it would raise some questions around baseball. How do you fire a guy who won you a World Series a year ago? So that question would linger, like, how does that happen? You know, I don't know if personally John Henry has something against Dave Dombrowski. I don't know. But, you know, it, at the end of the day, it comes down to the guy who signs the front of the checks. He could wake up on the wrong side of the bed and just decide, I don't want this guy here anymore. And despite the fact that he led him to a World Series a year ago, he completely mismanaged this team in terms of the offseason, gave Chris Sale $145 million when he was entering the final year of his contract. Why the unnecessary urge to give a guy who's a bag of bones And literally, who breaks down every season in August and September and actually decide to break down this year in May and June. Why did you give Chris Sale $145 million? Why did you give Nathan Eovaldi $68 million for a guy coming off Tommy John surgery twice? And then $6.5 million to a completely waste of check and space on the roster in Steve Pierce.
Sometimes the best deals you make are the ones that you don't.
Why? I don't understand. It's been one disaster after another. 617-779-7937. All your phone calls coming up, but now it's time for trending.
Blown saves, and I know we've had a number of them, but really it hasn't cost us as many games as what you would think during out the year. Our bullpen has basically been fine. So when we get to that point with those guys, and then you fill in with the two young lefties, and Walden's done a good job in long relief, we've been fine. But really, our club, if we're going to thrive and thrive well, it's going to be because of our starting pitching.
Well, the starting pitching has sucked. The bullpen has been the blow pen. They blew their 23rd game of the year tonight. I was talking before about how bad the Red Sox starting blowtation has been. They're 21st in Major League Baseball for starting pitchers ERA. 21st. Just above the White Sox, Kansas City, Toronto, and Pittsburgh. And you gave three of the starters $423 million combined. 21st in baseball. That's where the fail is. That's the fail. The Tampa Bay Rays, meanwhile, they have the second best ERA amongst all starters, including the number one in the American League. So therein lies why the Rays are going to the postseason and the Red Sox are not. Now, remember Dombrowski, who has gotten killed for not getting a reliever, and obviously the fact his bullpen has been perennially pathetic. This is what he said to this station after the trade deadline about his bullpen.
I think the problem for us in the bullpen, like a lot of people, is the depth. I mean, when you start getting to Barnes, I mean, the reality... You can't believe how many phone calls I got about our bullpen pieces.
Yes, I don't believe that you got any phone calls about your bullpen pieces. None. 617-779-7937. Nick in Winchester. Hey, Nick.
Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Nicky? What do you say?
Not much, pal. Hey, at the end of the day, we got to look at all scenarios. Henry hired this gentleman by the name of Dombrowski. You got to look at him. You got to call him accountable. What did he not do at the offseason?
Find a closer.
I mean, it's what he's not doing. It's at the end of the day. And then at the trade deadline, what did he do? Nothing.
Right.
And he gives supposedly his number one starter money when he didn't even close out last year. So at the end of the day, John Henry gave this guy trust and money and said, take the team and run with it. And unfortunately, he didn't run with anything.
No, he didn't.
So well, that's what I have to say. I love your show and keep up the great work.
All right, Nick. I appreciate that. It is what it is. It's what Tom Brady said in practice about his new contract. It is what it is. That's a Parcellsism. At the end of the day, John Henry's done everything he could to put this team in a position to succeed. And Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora failed. That's it. The Tampa Bay Rays are succeeding with a $63 million payroll.
It is what it is.
And the Boston Red Sox are failing with a $240-plus million payroll. That's it. At the end of the day, you are the spoiled rich kids born on third base who thinks that you've hit a triple, and then you got these other kids who come from the lowest socioeconomic environment in the world, and they are outperforming you because they are hungrier than you are, and they want it more than you do this season. Last year, the Red Sox were great. This year, they're not. And it's sad. It's really sad because there's no reason why this team couldn't at least get into the postseason, and there's no way they're going to make up 8 games by the end. There's 40 games to go. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? 40 games left. What are they going to do? Go 32-8 and hope the Rays go 16 and 24? Is that what you're hoping? Because that's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And lies the indictment of this year's team. It's too bad, but they are really the epitome of a team who looks like they've never been there before. And other than Xander Bogaerts, no one has won a World Series here before, and you could tell. They just came in, looked at, this season's going to be just nothing more than a continuum of last year. But that's why the calendar turns and everybody starts at 0-0 come April, this year, March. It's bad. This will go down. It won't be as catastrophic as the 2011 beer and chicken Sox. It won't be as bad as that, but it's pretty damn bad. When you think about the totality of this season, there's enough blame to go around, but you're like, how did this happen? How did everything so great last year get so bad this year? 617-779-7937. I mean, that's the thing. You look at it and you're like, whoa. I mean, there's nothing whatsoever that should have prevented this team with everything they had coming back. Two of the top players in the American League who were both MVP caliber last year. One of them did win it. Mookie Betts and JD Martinez. And, all right, you don't make any deals at the break, but by the deadline, it was too late. The ship had already sailed. And you were at the point of no return. If you can't make the playoffs with this team and a $241 million payroll, there's no excuses for this anymore. There's no B minuses. You know, maybe you could have snuck in as a wild card, but it's gone now. Season's over. And more people care about Patriots preseason games than they do you. You're getting outrated. You're getting tripled by the Patriots preseason games with Tom Brady and Julian Edelman not playing and Gronk semi-retired. Jared Stidham, Brandon Bassett, Dontrell Inman, and Maurice Harris are outrating you. That's it. And the only people to blame are the ones that you're staring right back at in the mirror. They're the only ones to blame. And I've looked at this time and time again, and it goes back to the old saying by former UCLA coach and the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden, who said, a lot of teams have won one in a row. Hence the 2019 Boston Red Sox. You're just a one-hit wonder. That's it. You're just a one-hit freaking wonder, period. And it's sad because there's no reason why this team should not have been in a position to at least get a chance to defend their crown from a year ago. They're not even going to get that chance. And a team who has 4 times less the payroll, the Tampa Bay Rays, who play in the worst environment in baseball, a sterile, complete, total joke called the Trop is going to make it, and you're going to be watching them in the postseason. That's sad and pathetic. Back to the phone, 617-779-7937. Mike in North Providence. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's happening, Mark? Yeah,
hey,
you know,
what's up, man?
By the way,
thank you.
Yeah, it was. You know, my main takeaway here now is just what can they learn about this going forward, and what do they have to look forward to. I mean, because you know the season's effectively over, and in particular, you know, it's. I always look at the Kansas City Royals, that back-to-back World Series team. That's like to me the most important, you know, baseball team I've watched the last 25 years. And
which team?
You know, the Royals. The Royals that went to the World Series two years in a row.
Yeah, but they didn't win it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, but they went there 2 years.
They did.
In a row.
They did. They did.
And if it wasn't for Madison Bumgarner, they would have won 2 years.
Yeah,
in a row.
They would have. I know. Yeah.
You know. So it was the thing for me. Is that was a team they didn't have deep pockets, so they had to like find a way to win with the salaries that they had, you know, or their ability to pay. So you know they looked at bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
You know if you try to go and flesh out a starting rotation, they wouldn't be able to afford that. So they just settled for decent starters, and then they invested in the bullpen. Well, this team is going to be getting a ton of money in this offseason. To work with, you got Pablo, you got Porcello, you got Moreland, you got Pierce. And honestly, if I were them, I would trade Mookie unless he accepts a contract that they are really willing to.
Oh, there's no doubt. If you can't come to an agreement in the offseason with Mookie Betts, I would definitely trade him because here's the thing, a team can get him for an entire year next season. You know, they know they've got him under control before he becomes a free agent after next year.
Yeah, and it's just, for me, when you look at it, that there's Mookie's money, which could be used to go and pay for a lot of a good bullpen all by itself, just the money he gets paid. And they don't really need him offensively. That's not really all that necessary for this team. You can probably find somebody to kind of, you know, stopgap replacement and still be one of the best offenses in the league. But it's also the talent you'd be able to bring in with, you know what I'm saying, for get back. There's a very good chance you could get a good young starter, you know, maybe bullpen.
Well, listen, from Mookie Betts, you should be able to get a couple of five-star Keith Law top 10 rated prospects. I mean, I'm talking top 10 in baseball, like the next Vlad Guerrero Jr., Peter Alonso, you know, those type players.
Yeah, and the whole mentality here being, this is what will enable them to flesh out the pitching side of the equation, particularly the bullpen, because they have to learn from what happened this year and realize they have deep pockets. And just as you were talking about the Rays get by, you know, raiding the bargain basement.
Yes.
The Red Sox have so many more resources financially, but you have to spend them wisely. And this year it was, you know, we're pretty much overstocked on one side of the ball. And really understocked on the other.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it is Mike. I mean, good points. But at the end of the day, if you got to pinpoint one person or one entity for this season's failure, who do you put it on? Dombrowski, the players, or Cora?
I'd say, honestly, I'd have to say Cora at this point. Just
ooh,
because I felt that he
overmanaged. By the way, that seems to be a popular theme tonight, Mike. Most people are saying Cora.
Yeah, I think he overmanaged the team at the beginning. Honestly, I've been having this conversation with people I know. I think that after last season, he almost talked himself into that he was a genius and that any idea that passed through his head was like somehow brilliant. And then he's like, you know what? You ain't seen nothing yet. And then all these new ideas are blown up in his face. And he should have stuck to the book more than he did. So
Yeah. Now, I will say, after this season, the one thing we can officially say with Alex Cora, Mike, the honeymoon is officially over now.
Yeah, he's got to earn his pay from here.
Oh, yeah.
No, honestly, he's a smart guy. I think hopefully he'll be able to learn because he has to look himself in the mirror and realize a lot of this was just him over-fiddling and fixing what wasn't broke a lot of the time. So.
Yep. All right, Mike, appreciate the phone call. Final segment coming up next. You want to chime in on that? Any Patriot thoughts? 617-779-7937. Oh, and we have a national television news anchor losing his mind and bleep. And it goes to show you, man, when some trolls try to test you in public, you gotta keep your cool because now something has gone viral. We'll get to that next. Final segment. Oh, this is a quick one because the Red Sox game went another 4 hour plus marathon tonight in Cleveland, winning 7-6 on Jackie Bradley Jr.'s home run in the top of the 10th inning. Their 23rd blown save of the season, though, I might add, by this one tonight by Brandon Workman. Let's go back to the phones. If you want to get in, you got about 5 minutes to do so. So the number is 617-779-7937. Ken in California. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, Ken. How are you?
Good. Just leaving an Angels game. I figured I'd take in the ball game.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I go about 15, 20 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the seats are like $15.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway, you know, I know the kid had 6 hits tonight, but he's an absolute disaster at third base. He almost lost the ball game for him, okay? Why not move him to first base? And if Martinez opts out, or maybe if he even doesn't, move Martinez to left, Benintendi to center, and either move the kid to first base or let him DH, because he's got a scatter arm. If you watch his throws to first base,
oh, I know.
Throw, he's in the dirt, almost over the guy's head, never chest high, never waist high. When I say never, I know never is a long time, but he's got a scatter arm.
He is not meant to play third base. That is clear.
No. I mean, you know, what's wrong with putting him at first or making him the DH?
I would put him at first. First base, I don't have an issue with. I mean, come on. Like, who do you have there? I mean, you know, it's just Mitch. Right. Mitch Moreland's going to be gone after this year. You got no one, so.
Pierce is gone.
Yep.
Moreland's gone. I mean, you're going to save $13 million. And if you get rid of Bradley in center field, there's another $10 million. So you can move Benny to center field. I know he's not the defensive player that Bradley is, but he carries a hell of a lot better stick than Bradley does. And he's decent in center field. And you can move Martinez, if he doesn't opt out, to left field. Because, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to play left field at Fenway Park. If the ball's over your head, turn around with your back to the plate and field it.
Right. Exactly. No, I know. It's just, yeah, he's clearly out of position. As great as he is at the plate, he's equally as bad in the hot corner. Oh, he's bad. So bad.
Oh, no question about it. And let me ask you a question. Wasn't Evaldi going to be tomorrow's starter?
Yes, and he possibly still could be. No, it's Brian Johnson tomorrow. It's now Brian Johnson.
Oh, my God, Mr. Lollipop Curveball?
Yeah, Lollipop Curveball. Yes.
Oh, my God almighty. Haven't they learned anything with this guy?
Brian Johnson, this guy, it's like he is just.
That's all he throws is a lollipop curveball.
I know.
He's, what's his name, reincarnated. The guy that they sent out, I can't think of it, the left-hander that all he knew how to throw is a curveball. Oh, God.
They sent him where?
They got him from San Diego.
Drew Pomerantz.
Yeah, he's Pomerantz .2.
I know.
2.0.
Right.
Maybe worse.
Exactly.
Oh, well, here goes six runs in 3 innings, no question.
Yep.
And they can't even close out a game when they're winning 6-1 going into the 6th inning. Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. Ken, listen. Ken, I appreciate the phone call. We're up against it. Here's the thing about this team is just that it's a season that you almost want to end unmercifully because you just know what's going to happen. I mean, they have slim to no chance of getting into the wild card. It's not going to happen. Thanks to Nick. Great job on producing. How do you pronounce your last name? LePan? LePan. Nick. And who's your assistant tonight? Matt DeJesus. Appreciate everybody who listened and called in. I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 to 10 p.m. right here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.